Well, it's always, if you needed your prayers, God, the Lord, to help us to be able to get out the message the Lord has given our heart. I was thinking about something that happened a number of years ago now. We were involved in tent ministry. We were going around, we were in Junction City, Kentucky, holding a tent meeting. So I think there was three of us got together, and we'd made some meeting invitations and some flyers and tracks. And we went out into the streets, and we had divided up and went different ways. And Brother Danny Gellenbeck and Brother Ivan Eck and myself, and we split up and went different ways, and we just went door to door, knocking on doors. Some people would accept them, some people wouldn't. Some people would talk a little, some wouldn't. Some was gracious, some wasn't. But I went to one place, there was a woman on porch, and I went up and handed her one of the notices and asked her if she'd come to the meeting, or invited her to the meeting. And she thanked me for the invitation, and I turned around and walked away. And I was walking down the driveway, and I looked over to the next house in line, and the only thing I can say to you is I felt like the Lord spoke to me. I don't know. Something spoke to me is the only thing I can say. Into my heart came the words, be careful over there. Well, I wasn't thinking about being careful anywhere else, but it came to me, be careful over there. And no more than thought it and walked a little farther, and then the woman behind me on the porch that I just talked to said I wouldn't go over there if I was you. And when she said that, of course, that got my attention. And I turned around and said, oh, why not? She said, they have a great big dog over there. And I said, is it loose? And she said, no, they keep it pinned up. And I thought, well, it can't be much danger in that. So I went on over and thought, I'll go on over and at least try to give them an invitation. And I got over to the house, and the door was open, but the screen door was shut. And when I come up to the door, just before I got ready to knock on the door, I heard a rumbling coming through the house. And there was a 140-pound Rottweiler hit that door and just busted it wide open. And I went to backpedaling, and the dog kept coming down low at my feet, and when it would do that, I would put my hands down, and the dog would straighten back up, seeing my hands coming as an attack. He would straighten back up, and we went back to the yard that way. And I kept looking around for somewhere to go, and I knew I couldn't outrun the dog. And well, the woman that owned the dog come storming through the house and came out hollering at her dog. And hollering at me, what are you doing? Said, don't you know that you don't do that to a dog? When a dog comes at you like that, just stand still. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, right. I got a lot of things, but I don't have that. Anyway, she talked a little bit, and she was very upset. And I said, well, I just came, I don't want to hear it. She said, I don't want to hear it. She went on about dogs and about what I cut, all that. And then she looks at me and said, well, what are you doing here anyway? And I said, well, I have these notices, and I'd like to give, I don't want nothing to do with whatever you're doing. And what I do. So she talked a little bit longer, and she started calming down. And in a little while, I said, man, you could help me out if you was a mind to. And she looked at me and said, what? I said, we're having a tent meeting, an old gospel tent meeting. And I said, I am very passionate and believe very strongly in what I'm doing. And I'd like to know, for my information and how to better deal with people, I'd like to know why someone like you wouldn't be interested in it. She proceeded to tell me of a long list of hurts. She was a religious person. She believed in God. She went to church nearly all of her life. And she'd been hurt. She'd been scarred. She hadn't been done right. If the story she told me was accurate, she had some right to feel the way she did. It was true. If that was true, people had done her wrong in the name of God, religion, salvation. I ended up telling this lady, I said, "Ma'am, I'm going to leave and like for you to come to the meeting, but if you don't, I may never see you again. But I would like to leave you with something. All of what you just told me has absolutely nothing to do with the Lord Jesus."
That's right.
He didn't hurt you. He didn't offend you. He doesn't belong in anything that you described to me. I said, "I'd like to leave this with you. If you would get to know Him." And it's not about not having people around you, but the first place, if you could find Jesus as a reality in your life, it's what it's really all about. She said, "Let me see that flyer." And she took the flyer and she said, "I'm not making you any promises, but if my husband will come, I'll come to your meeting tonight." The Lord gave me a thought today about Him and our absolute need of Him. You know, the Bible describes our relationship with the Lord in many different ways. One of them is a relationship between a man and a woman, like a marriage. There's relationships of a friend. They said He called them not servants but friends. There is a relationship that is, you call me master, and you've said well for that. I am. There's a relationship between servant and master, between a wife and a husband. There is a relationship with friends, and these are all accurate in our relationship. But I'd like to look tonight, the help of the Lord, with the relationship between a father and a son, or say a father and a child. Our Father. That statement represents something. God is so able to take care of us. That idea of being a father means provider. It means security. It means to be able to provide the needs. A father. Jesus came and His words was, "I'm not coming to speak in my own. I'm coming and telling you what the Father has told me. I'm coming that you might know my Father." He said to them, they said, "Lord, Mary, we want to see the Father." And Jesus said, "Have you been with me so long that you haven't recognized the Father? You haven't seen Him? That's what I come to show you," was the Father. And I have found that God is everything that I need in this life. There has not been a need that I've ever had in my life that God hasn't been willing to meet for me. You may have wants that you'll say, "You wait there." But God will take care of all of our needs. He is able to take care of every need that I've ever had. Through my relationship with Him, through my time of being salvation, I want to testify to you tonight, God is a provider to His people.
Yes.
God can take care of all of our needs. I'm talking physical. He's made that promise too. Financial. He's promised our emotional needs, our mental needs, our spiritual needs. Our whole existence as a human being is taken care of by our Heavenly Father. He made statements like this. He cares for the sparrow. He feeds them. No sparrow can fall to the ground that God doesn't see him fall.
And he's made this statement, are you not worth more than many sparrows? And yet God cares for the sparrow. And he feeds and takes care of the sparrow. But are you not worth more than many sparrows? That relationship, that relationship is somewhat summed up in our understanding of the human relationship. It's easily to be warped. I recognize that. But I have seen how children naturally think of their father. You ever see it? My daddy's got bigger muscles than everybody. Oh my! That when it comes, if you wanted to try to tangle with my dad, he went hands down because he's my dad. When it comes to doing things, no one can do things like my dad. I've seen situations where, to be speak frankly, that the father wasn't doing much to be a father, but children didn't hold against him. He was still my father. I've seen them fall all over themselves just to get to see a father that wasn't even hardly paying enough attention to them, that even deserved it. But yet that children longed to them because that was my father. So I want to look at some scriptures and pray the Lord would bless this thought that we have a great opportunity and privilege to know the Father. And to be able to lean upon Him, to put our confidence and trust in Him, the one that never fails, to have Him as the supreme of all of our life existence, that all that He owns, that He is willing to give to me and as a heritage of my living for Him, all of this is given by our Father in heaven. And our Lord Jesus spoke of His Father many, many times, speaking of the Father, over in the 11th chapter of Luke. Let's see, 11th chapter. I'm going to read back just a little bit to pick up the whole thought. He says, and I say unto you in the 9th verse, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. You know, the Lord is desiring to have a relationship with us to where we're willing and have such confidence in God that we're willing to ask. Ask Him anything. Ask Him anything. Nothing's off the table with God, your Father. Nothing's off the table. You think that's too small to ask God about. Nothing's too small and nothing's too great. We had a brother there at home, Brother Jim, that challenged us many times when he lost his checkbook. Keys. No, nothing was too small for that man to take to God. When he had a need, he would say, God knows where them's at. Many times he'd come back and testify about, God, help me. But give it to him. I remember one time, not long ago, he had lost his checkbook and looked around for it, and it was a matter of prayer to him, and he come back and said, I went and sat down in the chair. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, check in that chair. And he run his hand down in there and pulled his checkbook out. Nothing's too big and nothing's too small. God said, ask if you ask. Now, when one of my daughters was in school, had a Christian school there, they rewarded them with merits. They had merits, they had demerits. If they didn't get the work done, they got demerits. And if they done everything they were supposed to, they would get merits. These little pieces of paper was called merits. And at certain times, they would open what they called the merit store. And what they was able to do is go in the store with their merits and buy little objects and this and that. Well, one of my children went in there with their merits and bought this little old glass thing that said Dad on it. They could have bought anything they wanted. It was their merits. I never said I expected you in the course of the day to think of me so many times. I never questioned them when they come home and said, I expect you to have been thought, how many times did you think about me? Or did you write my name down? Or I was no pressure in anything. But they spent their merits that they could have bought toys or bought gum or candy or whatever was available. And he bought a little thing that said Dad on it. And brought it to me and said,
Here, Dad, I got you something. You know what that means to somebody?
Oh, yes.
When they did it because they wanted to, because they loved, because you know what that means that says that I gained enough trust, confidence, and love that they was willing to sacrifice, give what they had to give to me, just to simply say, Dad, I saw it and I thought of you. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a father that outdoes anything we ever could do. I wonder what it does to the great heart of God when we reach something and do it just not because it was necessarily commanded. It's a commandment of love. I want God to be moved by what I do in my life. I want a relationship with the Father. I want Him to know, absolutely know, that I appreciate the great heart of God. I appreciate, as Brother Clifford Wilson used to say, to love Him for who He is. You ever think about that? We put God as something that's beyond or out there, but to love God for who He is saying, God is love. I love Him for who He is. I love Him for His mercy. I love Him for the character that He has. I love Him for how He shows Himself. I love Him for His willingness to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. I appreciate God's willingness to look down on man. Who art man that thou art mindful of Him? I appreciate God that He's willing in all of His greatness. I'm going to ask you something. Why couldn't God just erase this whole thing and start with something else? Why couldn't He just erase all of us foul-minded, foul-mouthed people? Why couldn't He do that? He could.
He sure could.
He could. But He didn't.
Okay.
And He don't. That's the Father that we're thinking about tonight. A Father that has absolutely opened up through Christ, His Son, willingly suffered that. It was in the heart of God to give His only begotten Son to filthy, dirty, sinful people. That was a sacrifice.
Yes.
But it was in the heart of our great Father.
Thank you.
That He, looking at children that had gone astray, might win them back to Him. And so, this is the great heart of God. Ask. Oh, how God wants us to ask.
Yes.
And I'll just bring this in the scripture that I thought about before. But 4th chapter of Hebrews says, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly. You know what that's saying? You look into that. That's not just talking about people that's saved. That's talking to all people. Come boldly. That was a contradiction in my mind. You know, coming boldly is not a contradiction with humility. Because the boldness is not coming bold because I'm anything. It's coming boldly because Christ died for me.
Amen.
That's what that scripture is talking about. I've opened up an avenue. You can come boldly. Ask. Children, ask. You have a Father for every need that you have. When you say, I don't understand. Now, not about everybody in here is probably parents that's understand over. Do your children ever ask questions? They're asking questions. Ask, He said. Ask. What needs do you have? Ask. I already know, but I'm giving you a privilege to build a relationship. If God just gave it because He knew it, there's no relationship in that. It's when I begin to say, Lord, I have need here. And then that need the Lord fulfills and I begin to build a relationship. It causes me to have a desire not to serve Him because there's a literal command or letter of the law. It causes me to serve Him and want to do for Him because I love Him in my heart.
That's right. Amen.
I do what I do and dress the way I do because I love God.
Yes. Amen.
I love God. You know, that makes my argument. Every place I go, my argument's already made. Why do you do that? I love God.
Amen.
I love, that's the simple fact about it. I love the Lord. You must know, why do you do all that? Because I love the Lord.
Yes.
You can expect all kinds of answers, but if you want to give the right
one. Mm-hmm. I have found God is pleased with this, and I want to do something that pleases God.
Yes.
That's all I'm searching for. I make an extra sacrifice because He's my Father. He's my Father. A while back, Linda's brother had a shirt. And he was giving me a shirt, a real nice shirt. It was a polo shirt, expensive shirt. And it had a little polo emblem on it. And he said, you know, I'm going to give you this shirt. He said, I don't know if your church will let you wear this or not. Well, that might not be funny to everybody here. Because it might be sensitive. But I have a ready answer. It's not the church that I have any. We fellowship together. We love the same Father. We're brothers. You know what makes people brothers? They have the same Father.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I told him that was so foreign to my thinking. I had to really think about that. The church don't allow me to do it. I never thought about it, but that's not what I did to me. The idea that I always had is that I don't want to displease God. That was always the mind that made me look at emblems or ideas of flashiness or pride or anything else. Is I might displease the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, people cross their eyes at me sometimes, I'm sure, about what I do. But my mind is, I wonder if this is pleasing to God or not.
Yeah, that's
it. I've always been careful about it. And even at that, I think we picked it out. The little emblem, that was a great thing to anybody or to me or anything else. But I'm careful about it. Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you.
That's right.
What stirring, what vehemence, what kind of move did it have on your heart? Do you serve God in this relationship of loving the Father? Because God is desiring that. The whole plan from this very beginning was that He creates something, somebody, that could love Him because they wanted to.
Yes.
And to do what they wanted to because they wanted to. Adam and Eve failed of that first principle. God wanted Adam and Eve to obey Him because they loved and appreciated the visitations that God had for them in life, and they lost that first principle that we do what we do. If Satan would have come to Eve and Eve said, I love him. It's not a matter of He said not to do this, and my love for Him. Paul said it this way, the love of Christ constraineth me. Mm-hmm. He didn't say the church constraineth me. My brethren's constraining me. He said the love of Christ.
That's good.
Constraineth me. Yes. In other words, what I do, the bondage that I'm in, you say, well, you're not supposed to be in bondage. There's a bondage that you can be in, that you want to be in. Like the Old Testament idea of putting your ear up to the door and letting it stick out, that means I'm forever His slave. A bond servant. I love the Master. When my time of freedom comes, instead of running for it, I'm free now, I will give my life forever. And I'll give it by proof. I'm constrained, Paul said. In other words, my love for Christ,
yes,
causes me to do everything I do.
That's right.
It's what motivates me this.
That's
God right. The Father, oh, and His desire to have a relationship all the way back, He wanted a relationship with Adam and Eve. And he could have created a million people that went around like robots that worship God because He told them to. But it don't fulfill the circle of love. He wanted to love and then get a return.
Yes. That's right.
And then give it back and then return.
The
and then give it back and return. The blessings flow. Right. And then the devotions flow back.
Right.
And then the worship, the desire for worship. You don't drum up worship, folks.
No.
You love God.
Yes.
And He comes. We do it because we desire to see His will fulfilled.
Amen.
So He said here, if you ask, shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I desire of my children that if they break something, I want them to know that I am not a fault-finding, hard, harsh person. But when they have failures, my desire for my children is that they can have a relationship with me. That they can come and say, "Dad, I messed up.
Yes.
I desire it." That's my children.
That's right.
I love them. I have no desire for their hurt or harm. I would rather when one of them breaks my axe handle that they come and say, "Dad, I broke the axe handle." When one of them runs the truck into something, I want them to come and say, "Dad, I run the truck into something." Yeah, I may say, "You did what?" When I was young and very foolish, I borrowed my dad's car. And I was going too fast on roads I should have been going fast on. And I wasn't saved or had any mind for God, but God spared a very terrible thing that could have happened. But I did wreck my dad's car. I went off the road and buried the front end of the car into a bank. And fortunately, the bank was stalling. It was kind of soft and absorbed some of the shock of it. And it didn't tear the car up too bad. So I had to bring the car back. I brought it to my dad. I had to go in late that night and say, "Dad, I wrecked your car." My dad said, "Oh, what happened?" And I told him. We went out and looked at it and busted the grill. And he had had an accident. Somebody had backed into him and busted the grill. And my dad done the body work himself and fixed it back. And then I borrowed his car and knocked it all out again. Tear it all up. And so Dad looked at it and he said, "Well, you know, I never was totally satisfied with the job that I had done on that to start with. So this would be a good opportunity for me to do it right." That's all he said. And you know how it works sometimes. That kind of got to me. Now if Dad would have... The reason was that I kind of was deserving something. I felt like I had done something that I shouldn't have done. And if Dad would have got on me a little bit, maybe it would have been better. But it wasn't better the way he handled it. I still had it on me. A few days went by and I went to Dad and I said, "Dad, why did you take that kind of attitude?" Now, he's always been that kind of a man somewhat, but I said, "What made you take an attitude like that over that car?" And then I fessed up to him. I said, "Dad, there was no reason for me to do your car like I done it. And you took that attitude." He said, "Let me tell you what happened to me when I was 16 years old. He said, I borrowed my brother's car, brand new." And run a stop sign, whatever, and I towed his brand new car. And you know what he said to me? "Boy, stuff happens, don't it?" Dad said, "I felt like I owed somebody something down the road. That's what he done to me." The Lord sure has done a lot for us.
That's right.
Hasn't he? Yes. He sure has done a lot for us. That is the heart of God towards us. His heart towards us is that I don't want to punish you. I don't want to reject you. What makes me reject you is that I can't stand with the sin of your life. It will melt. You won't destroy me with it. It can't stand before me. If you have that in your heart and life, when you stand before me, you're going to melt. You're going to be destroyed by my holiness. I don't want to destroy you. I don't want to see you go to where you have to go. I love you as a father. He wants us as children. So he says, "For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread, of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Will we harden our hearts to the place of a child of ours, our own child, could come and say, I'm hungry. Maybe I should read this. I'll go ahead and read this whole thing. If a son asks for bread, and any of you that is a father will give him a stone, or if he asks a fish, will give him for a fish, give him a serpent, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now this is talking about the Holy Spirit and God's willingness to impart His Spirit to fulfill our lives. But the principle of this goes all the way through of what God is willing to do, because in essence everything God does is through His Holy Ghost. The answer to our problems is the Holy Ghost. He administers grace to us. He gives us power. But the principle runs all the way through. As I said, if a child would ask of me, one of my children, and come to me and say, I'm hungry. You don't think that touches our heart? Do you know our children, to some degree, dictates our life? A lot of my wife and I, life is dictated by hungry mouths. It's just the way it is. We have to. It's our children. If they're going to grow up, we have to feed them. Now what would it be like? What would you say a father, mother would be like to offer a stone? You're hungry, here it is. It's all you're getting. It's a stone. We don't do that. And we're evil. This is what he's talking naturally of humanity.
Yes.
We have a natural inclination and a selfishness, but there's something in us that would produce an environment of security for our family.
But how much more is our Heavenly Father willing to take care of our hunger and our needs and our desires that here in this life? How much more when we long, Lord, I long for good things in my life. How much more would God be willing to give good things to our life?
Right. Have you ever got to the place in your life that you just said, I'll be honest with you, I have. That I'm pathetic. This ridiculous experience that I have. You ever hate yourself? You ever desire to be so much more than you are? You see your failures, your shortcomings, and desire that I be so much more than that? Well, how are you going to get there? What are you going to do? There's a Father that is so willing to take care of those kind of places. I'm so glad that there is. That Father that has given us the ability to be able to come to Him with a boldness, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to it. That you might obtain help, grace to help in time of need. Mercy and help. And to get your needs taken care of. Who's He talking to? Humanity. Christ died for you. You can humble yourself and come boldly because you're not doing it because I am anything. I'm doing it because Christ has made an intercession with the Father and made it possible that when He looks down, He sees our Lord's sacrifice and accepts us. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Our Father sent our older brother. This is a family thing. So he says, if you ask for a fish, would he give you a snake? The whole idea of poison, the idea of repulsion.
Yes.
Would you do that to your children? Would God do that to us? When we long for those good things, is He going to give us poison and bad things? No. He stands as a Father there tonight before us. And I'm so glad that He's there for us. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter.
Yes.
This scripture says, I want to look
where it says the sons of God. A chapter of Romans 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I didn't know to some degree, and maybe Paul even talked about that, but in some, we're all His offspring to some degree. But spiritually speaking, those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, my understanding in many of the state laws is that if you adopt a child, that child has absolute rights as a child of that. And I have heard some states that you could also, in some states that you could actually, what's the term? You could set aside your real children. You could not give them inheritance.
Disinherit.
That's what I was thinking of. But you cannot disinherit an adopted son. The laws are that you cannot. If you adopt a son, that's an heir. And you can disown your own, but you cannot disown that adopted. That is the power of the adoption. That's the meaning that you are a child. Absolutely, you are a child. I'm going to tell you, this scripture was made so real to me one time that I can remember this 8th chapter of Romans. My daughter, Sarah, come down with some kind of a stomach problem to where she was in screaming pain. And we sought the Lord. For 3 nights in a row, she was in cramping, pain, long days and hard nights. Come to the end of the third night, or up in the third night, I was dealing with the Lord and I told the Lord, I have prayed every word that I know to pray. I have no more petition. I have nothing else to pray. Lord, I've come to the end. I don't know what to do. And the Lord spoke this scripture to me, to whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. And I thought for a little bit, what does that all mean? And then I got a hold of it. It means you are a true son. It was like heaven opened up and God the Father said to me, you're my son. I'm telling you, there was a wave of inspiration rolled through my soul. I'm telling you, I just started saying praise.
That's right.
The Lord, He has just called me His son.
Yes, praise.
And I can ask whatever I will ask.
That's right.
And you know what? My faith took hold and He healed my daughter.
Praise God.
And gave me victory right there at the same time. Instantaneously, she was better. And I rejoiced in my
glory to God.
To be called a son of God. The son of the Father. But where we can call Abba. You know that has a particular phrase. Actually, if you look into the definition, Abba Father means father. It's two different words. The one is a Assyrian, or it comes from Chaldean. Abba. And the other word for father in the Greek is father. But it had much more meaning than that. It was a term used by a son. It was an endearing term.
That's it.
A term of respect.
Yeah.
A term of honor that they called, this is Abba Father. We can cry Abba Father. Who else in the scripture cried Abba Father? Who was the only one that had the right to cry Abba Father? This scripture, my understanding is that a servant could not call his master. He can say Father. He can say Master, but he couldn't say Abba Father. He could not, as a servant, make that proclamation. It was one of a son. It was as the son come, then he could say, Abba Father. You know, Jesus cried, Abba Father.
Yes.
He had the right. He was the only one that had the right to cry, Abba Father. Until
it was made possible through the adoption of His Spirit, that by we can call unto God, we are sons of God. We have the right then of sonship. Our faith ought to take in something tonight.
Oh, God bless.
I'm a son. You know what the son means? You know what that means? It means everything he owns by inheritance is mine. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we not heirs of God? And joint heirs of Christ?
Yeah.
We are heirs to everything. This world is our fear. Everything that goes in this world, we're heirs of whatever God has. We're heirs to it. Do we need help financially? Does God have a cattle on a thousand hills? He does. Do I need help in my life? Yes. Then it's there. All the riches and the fullness of God is given to us as sons. It's a relationship now. That's my Father. That's my Father. He wants me to have faith in Him. He wants me to trust Him. There was a scripture, and it slipped me right now, but there's a scripture that says about what God will delight in. He does not delight in the horses. The strength of the horse are in the legs of men. And this was army terms. He's talking about armies. Men make great to-do about armies. And they would march their armies in the strength and power, and everybody would awe and ooh about the great military power. They've done it ever since militaries have got together. They marched them to show the power of the king and all that. And God said, I'm not impressed. And what God said He delighted in? He delighted in those that love His and hope in His mercy. You know, that is showing the true character of our Father. When you and I show the world the hope we have in His mercy. Do you know when we fail as children, God delights in the idea that we appreciate His mercy and we know Him as God? My children, I want them to know me as a merciful Father. I want them to know that the love that I have for them supersedes the little failures that children can have. Yeah, they'll spill the milk sometime, but I want them to know that I'm their Father. I may correct them on how to help hold their milk, but I do that out of love as a father because I love my children. We are given as the spirit of adoption. For we have not received the spirit of bondage. This world tries to put us into bondage. Religious organizations try to put people into bondage. They try to make people fear and quake. This says you haven't received that kind of spirit. But you received the spirit that has set you free. You received the spirit of adoption to whereby you don't have to fall under anything. You don't have to be subservient to any. You are a child of God. You have the right of God. Now I want to testify a little bit of my Father. I got saved. Lord dealt with me and saved me. And I got that spirit of adoption and become a son. The Lord has desired to have mercy on me and help me in my life. There's been a few things that when I was young in the Lord, Brother Sammons was an old evangelist, and he was my pastor at the time, and he many times would use the term, I've lived by faith for 40 years, 35 years. I remember when he said 30, 35, 40. He would testify of us. I lived by faith. What he meant was that he quit all these worldly jobs and done everything, and he went out full time in the ministry of God. And he would testify that I've been in the full time in the ministry for 30 years and I haven't missed one payment. Never took up an offering for myself. And in all that time, I never missed one payment that was due. God met every need that I ever had. He would say that, and I think I want a testimony. I like to have testimony like that. I was in my home. I like to have testimony like that.
I went out full time. I can't say 30 years, but the Lord called me to full time ministry in 95. And when He called me out in the fall, as a human will do sometimes, I was being dealt with by the Lord, and I thought, well, I have to add this all up. And I got me out a notebook, and I started adding up. And it didn't add up. Well, I had to come out. And what the idea was coming in, I looked at it all, and I said, it don't add up. But there come a time that I told the Lord, I said, Lord, everything I've got, I'm putting it in it. My dad bought me a rifle when I was, a deer rifle, we like to deer hunt, when I was 13 years old. And that comes to my mind, and I said, Lord, it's in the pot too. The house, vehicles, heirlooms, same things. Lord, you call me to it, it's all yours. You can have it all. I had a little money saved up. And I'm going to testify to you tonight, since 1995, I've never spent that money. I've come down to it, but I've never spent the money I had when I went out full time. He has kept us all those years.
Praise.
Without an offering. Well, I never took up one for myself. I have never asked for anything. And God, my Father, I had a sister one time say, Brother Marty, I got to ask you this. Do the saints support you? And I said, the saints have been wonderful to me, but I didn't make any agreement with them. I made no covenant with them. I made a covenant with God. And you know what? It's always been even. It don't matter if it comes through the saints' hands or sinners. You'd be surprised. God would want sectarian people to give me money. God would want the world. My mom wasn't saved. My mother wasn't saved and had never done it. And I went to her house to see her before I went on a trip one time. And my mother gave me $200. And I said, Mom, would you do that for? And she said, well, man upstairs has been talking to me. Do you know I went on from there and went to a meeting in Tuscaloosa, stayed in a hotel and had three nights and be in that meeting and had to eat and all that. And the offering from the meeting was $50 or $100 or something. I had to drive all that way. And you know what made the difference?
$200.
You want to come out of there with? Nothing left over. I didn't have any lack, and I had nothing left over. I'm telling you, He's a Father. He's a Father that takes care of our needs all the way through. And I can say, as Brother Sam did, been living by faith, He's met every need. All the way through.
Praise
God. When my wife got sick in 97, I cashed 53 checks at one time. That the people of God sent. God take care of me. When you had me, I couldn't work. I was busy with taking care and helping my wife. Couldn't get out. I couldn't go to that. You said, well, whose agreement did I make here? I made it with the Father. I threw everything in. I'm going to tell you something about living for God. Holding back don't get anywhere.
That's right.
Give all.
Yes.
Give your all.
That's right.
I'm telling you, give your all to God. Because you can't outgive Him, you can't outdo Him, you can't be more faithful than He is. When you come to that relationship, I said one time of my earthly father, God, I'm going to tell you, He spoke to my heart. I was going along one time, and I this was before I went out the full time, the reason we even was in the ministry, but I was living for the Lord, and I was going along one time, going to work or something, I had some financial needs. I had financial needs all the time I worked. And I haven't had any since I started living, since I give it to the Lord. And that's the truth. But I was going along, driving in the car, and I remember thinking, my dad naturally was such a generous man. He would give just about anything he could if we asked him. And I remember going along And it come to me and I thought, I wish my dad had a lot of money. And the Lord reproved me. And He said, I do. You're looking in the wrong place. And you know what? That's so true.
Yeah.
I was wishing for the natural. God's got so much more than that for our lives.
That's right.
There's another scripture I want to look at. It's in Matthew. This is familiar scripture. We all recognize this scripture, Matthew 6. I think I'm wanting to look at about 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, and I'm going to emphasize the faith, because the Scripture says that it is impossible without faith. It is impossible to please God. There's no possibility of it. In our pursuit of loving God, our Father, it takes faith. And He said to them, oh, ye of little faith, in order for us in this world to proclaim God, it's going to be faith. Our best witness of, with loving one another, and that is to show faith in God, our Father. To be able to show for who He is, that's our Father. Why do you worry yourself and show the world? Why do you worry yourself and always worry about what you're going to get, what you're going to gain? You're acting like there's no God at all. Is it true? Many people that proclaiming act like there's no God at all.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a God in heaven? Can we depend on Him? Can we step out in faith on His promises? Is He a Father? Is He willing to do that? I will say this. I don't want to go anywhere that He don't want me to go. But anywhere God wants me to go, He will supply the need of it. And He's able to do it. So He says, "Take no, on you little faith, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" Yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming on the world that may press us that we might say, where is the next mouth? Where's the next mouthful of food going to come from? God's never had any trouble feeding anything. They was a prophet one time, settled down and the bird come and fed. God sent a raven to feed. I had it right in the order all the way through. Had him fed all the time, right all along. Children of Israel, millions strong, were out there in the wilderness. What are you going to feed them? How are you going to feed somebody like that? He dropped manna out of heaven. He dropped food right out of heaven to them. I never had no problem feeding people. So why do we worry so much about that? And the idea that we ought to be portraying to the world is that there's a Father. I'm telling you, folks, there's a Father in heaven. That very idea means He's secure. I'm going to tell you, I appreciate the security. The 91st Psalm that talks about being under the wing. You know that scripture, the 91st Psalm? I'm going to read that real quick. That's one of my favorite Psalms. Says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is a place of sonship. That's a place of God has made a refuge under those mighty wings of protection. And Jesus said, how oft would I have gathered you together as a hen with her chicks? In other words, under my wings, under the wings of it, you see. So there's a place of protection, a blessed place of protection, of security. It doesn't matter what this world throws at us.
No.
Not really. Not really. Because He's the Father. And God is not, what do you say? God is not dictated by the whims of or the whims of this world. God's not limited in His ability to take care of His children by the events that goes on around us. He's still the Father. And He says for us not to take worrisome thoughts and think about all this. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The people that's not children. The people that don't know the Father. They seek after all these. They run for these things. They try to get and gain and build and do and secure themselves. They try so hard in this world to secure themselves. I want good things for people. Lord bless them all. And about this, all this health care stuff and all that. And Lord, how do you care about what's supposed to be cared about? But to be honest with you, I see something so much bigger than all that. It's a lie that didn't keep you healthy anyway. It's a lie that they didn't keep you alive anyway. I got something more than that. I got a policy. I got a policy that's better than that. And I've cashed in on it many times. Many times I've come to it. I have a father. My little boy laying sick on my couch one night. Or one day. And he always was a little boy that he would always say, Daddy, pray for me. Daddy, pray for me. Well, he was sick and I come in. Daddy, pray for me. He's all fevered up. And I come in and I had prayer. It was a prayer, a dutiful prayer. I cared for my son, but there was a lot of inspiration when I prayed. And then I got a little bit and said, pray, Daddy, pray for me. I'm feeling bad, pray for me. So I prayed for him. And I got up from there after praying for him, and I walked into the kitchen. And that inspiration, you call it? The voice that you hear, that inspiration said, in my heart said, go pray for him again. I'm going to tell you, the third time I prayed for my son, I didn't pray like the first two times. I prayed with the Spirit of God. I prayed with that anointing of prayer, of the inspiration of prayer. I went in there because my Father had told me something. I went in there with such inspiration on me and when I prayed. It was almost like from that very moment, things started changing. I knew it changed. I knew it. I got up out of there. I knew it in my soul. And you know what happened? You know what happened. I don't have to tell you what happened. The little boy was better.
Praise God.
He got up and was better. One other time, my little girl was sick. Got the flu. Was going around nasty flu going around. My wife says, we need to go to town tomorrow. I said, we can't go to town tomorrow. She's sick. We can't go to town. She said, well, what if the Lord would touch her? Oh, whoops. Yeah. Where was I at there? You know what I'm saying? Where was I at? We can go to town tomorrow. You know that thing was running about 5 days long. 5 to 7 days. It was some good cases of it. I prayed for her. I had her holding my arms. And when I prayed for her the last time, I felt fever, heat, go right up my arms. Right up both arms. A wave of heat went right up my arms. And I felt her head. And she was cool. And I laid her back in her bed. And she slept all night. Our Father. The reality of God, the Father. He says, why are you worrying? Why are you taking thought for all these things? Do you believe that you're a son? Do you believe that I have given you sonship through adoption that makes you heir? What do you need? What do you need, my son? My son, it's all yours. You're heir to it. So he says, all the Gentiles seek after this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, my son, will be added to you. Seek first the relationship with God the Father. The relationship first of a desire to please Him. Not out of duty. Out of a pure heart. A true heart. You know where victory is? Victory is not in us being told what to do. Or bringing ourselves into some kind of a uniformity with what people think. Victory is coming when I, out of my heart, desire more than anything else to please my Father. I want Him to know that I care more about Him than I do my own life. I care more about His kingdom. It constraineth me. I may be challenged greatly in this life. I believe this with all my heart. I love my wife. But my human love for my wife would not sustain my marriage. It takes something more than that. You know where the security of my marriage is at? I love God. I love God. There's been times that I've been tempted to act. Well, you're married. I don't really have to say too much. The temptation that belongs there in a real relationship like that, that was curbed. Or I've come to my wife and said, honey, I'm sorry. I'll use some language that I've used before. Honey, I'm sorry I was a jerk. You know what made me say it? Yeah, I love her. I want to get along with her. I can't do without the approval of God. I love my God. And when I don't please Him, it bothers me. I want to please God. I find it a constraining element in my life. He's been too faithful to me. If you'll notice the way Paul put the language, the love of Christ constrains me. Not my love for Him, but His love to me constrains me. It's overwhelming me. It's hard. It's like slapping your mother. You can't slap your mother. You can't. You know what I'm saying? There is something there. That's my mother. That's my mother. This is when love has been so profound. Paul was saying, it's so profound. It constrains me. I don't want to offend it. He died for me. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's made me heir. He's given to me. He's been willing in all of His greatness. I won't take a lot of your time. But I do want to make one other expression that I've made many times to show the way I feel about God. I'll do it this way. Men don't understand the environment around them very much, do they? Look at this. I'm going to guess less than 20 feet one way and a little over 20 feet the other. One little room. Here we sit in one little room. It's not very much here, is it? What county are we in?
Franklin
County. Franklin County, this room compared to Franklin County is a lot of space. This is not much room. I don't take up much room in this space. Franklin County takes up a lot of... Franklin County is not very big compared to Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania don't make up much space in the United States of America. The United States don't take up a lot of space in this world. This world don't take up much space in our solar system. It's one small part of our solar system. Our solar system is a very small bleep in our Milky Way galaxy. The galaxy called the Milky Way is one of hundreds of thousands of galaxies, of which the Milky Way is one of the smallest. And of all those galaxies, it reaches out to those that understand this, that reaches beyond any kind of human capability to understand. The amount of stars and the ideas of it is overwhelming. And God made it all. Yeah. And I have to ask you this question.
Did he exhaust himself in 6 days? Did God do everything that he could have done in 6 days?
Don't believe he did.
I don't think he got close, bro.
I don't either.
God is so much bigger than his creation.
Yes.
How big is our Father tonight? I hope I give you an idea of the awesome feeling I have for God. But that's not what gets me. When I think of that and am humbled by the idea that he even pays attention to me. Oh God, how will I ever be able to pay you back? Oh Lord, you're so big and wonderful. I heard a guy say recently that the whole idea of God in religion was nonsensical. That there was absolutely not one proof, Brother Wolf, that God exists. I thought, Lord, have mercy on that guy.
Yes.
Because the evidence of God, the Father, is all around us.
Yes.
What makes the grass to grow? What makes the trees to grow? What makes the wind to blow? I see God everywhere that I look. But I can look all around that and still miss the real idea. But I'm going to tell you what makes me know it more than anything else. I've met him. I've had him in my own. He lives in me. All I see God everywhere. To say that there's no proof. The Bible says that the very firmament declares it. The whole universe declares the handiwork of God. It's declaring it in all of its... The sun rising declares it. The moon rising. This is our Father. Now think of the awesome idea right here of what he created. I'm an heir. There's things out there. There's worlds and things I don't even know about. But I'm heir to it. I'm heir to a place that God has said, that Jesus said, I'll go and prepare a place for you. Some think he's talking actually of the preparations that's going on here. But we know that he has a land there that I'm heir to. I'm heir to it all. You're heir to it all. Don't make this challenge. There is being heir to it. We must find God, our Father, through Jesus Christ to honor and obey and bring him into our lives that he would be pleased to call us his children. I want him to be able to say in that final day, my son, welcome home. The 15th chapter of Luke. There was a young man that had a father. He was a good father. Had everything that the young man could want or desire. And he come and said, give me that which is mine. His father gave it to him. And he went out. You know the story. He went out and he lived in righteous living and spent all of his stuff. Said he would have eaten with the hogs, but nobody would feed him. The husk that they was eating. He didn't eat with the hogs. Some people say he ate with the hogs. No, he didn't. He would have, though, but he was lower than the hogs. The hogs was eating things he didn't eat, but nobody would give it to him. But he said, this that scripture said that he come to himself. He come of a right thinking. And he said, I know what I'll do. My father has plenty. The servants have plenty at my father's house. I'm going back to my father's house and I'm going to say to my father, I'm not worthy to be called a son. You know what? The truth of it is none of us is worthy to be called sons. But he said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to say to my father, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. But make me as one of those hired. Uh-uh, son. No way. And I love the vision that the Lord gives in that. It says when he was yet a far away off, the Father seen him. You know what that means to me? He had to be looking. His Father was standing and longing for the Son to come home. And that Son made his move and went home and the Father met him. And threw his arms around him and kissed him and hugged him and demanded bring him the signet that signifies you're a part of the family. Bring him the robe. Bring him that which means he's covered, that he's here and will
we'll kill the fatted calf and we'll rejoice. Why?
Because my son. Because he's my son. And he come home. And do you know that is the illustration of God's great love and mercy towards mankind?
That's right.
That his arms are open and he's forever saying, you're my son. You come home. You won't be a servant. You won't be cast down to second class. When you come, I'm going to make you fit for royalty. I'm going to make you a child of the king. What an incredible thing. Isaiah 61, that he would give us beauty for ashes. He had spent all he had, burn his life out, burn up. Burn up everything that was worth, lost his integrity, lost anything that he had, and he come back and offered once again ashes, and he got beauty for it. What a wonderful, wonderful story. The Father wants to know us better tonight. You pray for me, I will be thankful.
Amen. Praise God.